We turn to the Word of God. Scripture reading for this morning is from Peter's first letter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Page 1892 in your Pew Bible, I understand. 1892, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. And I'll read the passage, and then I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the congregation responds, saying, "Thanks be to God." Tonight we're going to be starting a series on the Beatitudes. We look at the first Beatitude tonight. We're done the Heidelberg Catechism, went through all 52 Lord's Days, and now we're going to be spending some time just on the Beatitudes, and so we're invited to as well to our service tonight to hear about that. For our scripture reading for this morning, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. The word of the Lord. "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we have a fitting portion of scripture to examine together. For who does Peter address in our passage? He addresses the elders of the church. In our text, the Apostle Peter gives instructions and encouragement to the elders of the Church of Jesus Christ. And so what better passage to examine after having witnessed the installation of new office bearers in our congregation here this morning? In our passage, Peter explicitly addresses the elders, but that does not mean the deacons cannot learn anything here today. Actually, while the office of elder and deacon can be distinguished, they obviously are two different offices, ideally, they should not be separated. If anything, there's a lot of overlap between the work of the elders and the deacons, and so a lot of the information Peter tells the elders in our text can just as well be applied to the deacons as well. Let's take a closer look at our passage here today, shall we? How about we consider its background first? Congregation, remember when the Apostle Peter denied Jesus? Remember that? He did it three times. Jesus was captured in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was brought to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, and it was there that he was examined. He was questioned. He was interrogated. Peter, he kind of followed along, but stayed back at a distance. In the courtyard of the high priest, someone noticed Peter and said, "Hey, you're one of Jesus' followers." Peter denied it. And then a little later, another person noticed the same thing. Again, Peter denied it. And then a little later again, someone noticed that Peter was a follower of Jesus. And a third time, Peter flatly denied it. "I don't know this man." And he called curses down on himself. And no sooner had he done that, and the rooster crowed three times. Remember that? And that's when Peter remembered that Jesus prophesied that all of this would happen. Jesus warned him about this. Congregation, Peter must have felt like a heel after that, wouldn't you think? I mean, how would he ever be able to face Jesus again? Yes, after his resurrection, how could he ever face his master again? He probably thought that Jesus would never, ever forgive him. But does Jesus forgive? Yes, he does. So you get to John chapter 21. In that passage, Jesus confronts Peter three times. He asks him, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter answers in the affirmative, "Yes, Lord, I do." And three times, Jesus affirms Peter's calling. He says, "Peter, feed my sheep." Jesus, he not only forgives Peter, but three times he charges him with his task. His task to feed Jesus' sheep, to be a shepherd. As Jesus was his shepherd, so must Peter continue to be a shepherd to others as well. Forgiven and restored, Peter is confirmed a shepherd as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Congregation, it is with this as background that Peter, he now encourages the elders in our text. As Peter was called to feed the sheep, now he calls other elders to feed the sheep as well. And so, brothers and sisters, this is something, there's something comforting in the fact that Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, encourages the elders in their task. When Peter gives instructions to the elders in our text, he does not come across as Mr. High-handed apostle who likes to boss other people around as if he's Mr. Know-it-all. No, sir. Peter knows his weaknesses. Peter knows what it is like to fall down. Peter knows what it's like to be a foolish shepherd. A shepherd who once upon a time made big mistakes and who denied his Lord and ran away. But as Christ Jesus called Peter back to the task, so does Peter call his fellow elders to their task. God uses everyone. You know, sometimes we think we are not worthy of the task of leadership in the church. We see our own weaknesses. We see our own shortcomings. Peter had the exactly same thing. Peter messed up big time. But Christ restores and Christ encourages. And so it's in that light, it's in that background that Peter addresses the elders in our text. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will share in the glory to be revealed. So we consider the background in our text. How about we move on to consider the basic instructions that Peter gives to the text, to the elders in our text? What, in a nutshell, is Peter's command? We find it right away in the beginning of verse 2. Peter writes, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will share in the glory to be revealed, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care." What is his command? Be shepherds. You know, feed the sheep. I want to point out that this really is the heart of the elders' task, okay? And of the deacons too, for that matter. It's shepherding, feeding the sheep, taking care of the sheep. It's a thought quickly disappearing in our day and age. Many think that that's the minister's job to do pastoral care and to do that shepherd kind of thing. Well, it is part of the minister's job for sure, but it's also the elder's role. Peter is clear. To the elders, he says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. It's right there in verse 2. And so the elders' main task is not, first of all, to attend the council meetings or to attend other meetings. The elders' first task is not to do the administration work, as important as that is. No, the office bearer's task is to be a shepherd. What does that mean? What does it mean to shepherd? Well, to shepherd means, sure, to feed the sheep. You feed them the word. You pray with them. You visit them. And you take care of them. When one sheep goes too far away, you try to call them back. Hey, you need to come back. When another sheep is sick, then you console him. When a sheep becomes a widow sheep or a widower sheep, you visit and you encourage. You keep in touch. And so visiting, home visiting, spiritual care, encouragement, rebuking, discipline, prayer, this stuff, that's the elder's task. It's the elder's task, and in some way, it's also the deacon's task too. Fellow office bearers, may I encourage you to keep that in the front of you always. Yes, you have to go to the council meetings, but may I encourage you to stay on top of your first task, shepherding, caring for the sheep in your district. We consider the background behind our text. We consider Peter's basic command to them. We move on now to look at the attitude by which the elder must do his work. Look at the text again. Peter says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, and not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Three things there. In those three things, Paul addresses the attitude of the elder. Yes, first of all, he says the elder must serve not because he has to, but because he is willing, because he wants to. God does not want the elder to be unenthusiastic. He wants the elders to want the job. If our attitude is anything different, then we have to pray about it. We have to change. We have to change it. Peter says the elder must not be greedy for money, but must be eager to serve. I don't know how this can fully apply to elders today, seeing that elders don't get a whole lot of financial gain from being an elder. I guess the point we need to appreciate is that the elder, he must serve not with the hope of getting any kind of personal gain out of it, be it financial or anything else. No, he must be willing to serve just for the sake of serving. His attitude must be that he wants to give completely of himself to serve the sheep. And lastly, Peter says the elder must not serve as one who lords over others, but is just willing to lead by example. Nowhere is there room for pride, where we want others to look up at us so we can say, "See, aren't we important?" No, our desire is not to stand over others as boss, to be boss, but only to be examples, examples of godliness. Not that the elders do not carry authority, they actually do. But they must use their authority like Christ did. He used it to serve, to give, to be an example for others to follow. This is the attitude that Peter expects from the office bearers as they shepherd the flock of God. Now, I suspect that when our new elders and deacons today hear all this, I suspect they're getting maybe a little bit nervous, a little apprehensive. I mean, who of us is always so gung-ho about being a shepherd? Who of us is always so willing and eager to serve? Who of us always wants to be that example to follow? Moreover, to shepherd the flock is not always easy. Some sheep find it greener on the other side of the fence. Other sheep like to bite. And some other sheep, they can even charge with their horns. It's not always easy out there. It's true. But you know, Peter knew that too. You know, it's interesting that Peter, he wrote these words in our text in context, actually, of persecution, of suffering. That's right. God's sheep were being hunted and slaughtered for the sake of Christ. So these were not ideal shepherding times. And yet Peter was willing to give these words of instruction to the elders in our text. Yes, the battle, the task is not always easy, but it is a battle and a task that can be done. Yes, we fall down. Peter can tell you all about that. But Peter was also able to get up again. God forgives. God strengthens. God confirms. and God blesses. In that regard, maybe it would be good if we consider the encouragement and promises that are given to all elders and deacons and office bearers in the Church of Jesus Christ. Three things of encouragement. Three things to remember. Number one, the flock that we care for, it's God's flock. God owns them. He ultimately cares for them. Everything is not on our shoulders. All we are is stewards. Peter says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. We don't own the sheep. God does. That's for our comfort. In a similar vein, Jesus Christ, why, he's our shepherd. It's not like we have God, then the elders who shepherd, and then the flock. No, the way it really goes is like this. We have God, and then we have our mediator, the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, and then below him, the office bearers who shepherd in his name, and then below that, we have the sheep. And so elders have a shepherd too. Says Peter, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory. Which leads to point number three, our great shepherd, he blesses. Jesus Christ, he cares for all of his sheep. He suffered for them. He died for them. And he rose for them. Moreover, today he reigns at God's right hand. At God's right hand, he reigns as our advocate, as our high priest. Says the apostle in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Yes, dear office bearers, we have a chief shepherd who feeds us and who blesses us. He forgives when we mess up. He picks us up when we fall down. And he continues to encourage, as he did to Peter, as he did to countless office bearers before us. He blesses today, and he will bless in the end. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. May you, office bearers, rely on that divine strength that comes from heaven. And congregation, may you encourage the office bearers. May you support them. Continue to pray for them. And may we see Christ shepherding us through them. May we together look up to the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, always confident of the future for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. We thank you for what he was willing to do to shepherd the flock. We thank you that he went to the cross, that he suffered there, and that he died, and that he rose again. We thank you that he's our advocate in heaven, that he pleads our cause. So we pray, Father, for the shepherds of this congregation, our elders, and also our deacons. We bid you bless them in their work of shepherding the flock. And we pray, Father, that we as a congregation may also encourage them in their task. We pray that we may also be a blessing to them. And so, Father, hear our prayer. Give us much wisdom, strength, your Holy Spirit as we move forward by your grace. Bless us to that end. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn in response is Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. There are four stanzas to this hymn. Let's together stand as we sing. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.